intro.
We're back. I like this hook. You got a book you want to tell us about? Well, let's talk. There's no other place to do it. Only on Catch the Craze.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I am your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't hear the trailer, I didn't hear my beat.
What?
What's going on, man? Okay. Alright. You know, now you're in there by yourself, you can act a fool. What up?
What's up? So Corona has created a boda because now we can't be in the same room together because George is another state and social distancing, you know.
Well, just to keep everything not in perspective, that's the wrong word. Just so everybody knows, this is the third show of the month. So, you know, by now, I mean, we're recording this for the first time. This is the first show.
He's
going to
explain it because I don't know.
Yeah, we're recording this show for the first time. It's a virtual podcast because I'm in New York. He's in whatever. And I know you like to give your location away. So
acting up.
Spot.
I got too many people after me.
You got people looking. So here we are, April 17th. And today's guest is the great Adele Brito.
Yes.
So she'll be on the show today. We have... Nice. We also have, get your meds. Censoring yourself is the topic.
Censoring yourself.
So it'll be good. I feel like I'm screaming. Am I yelling?
No, you just sound excited.
You ever heard those people who like call like long distance to their families and they're on the phone screaming really loud?
Yes.
And everybody's like, what the hell?
That's usually because the cartel's after them and they're like, I need bail money. It's like, are you not there?
Emergency. Oh, God. Well, listen, in the midst of this whole coronavirus thing, just want to hope everybody's okay, everybody's safe.
Yes.
Keep your distance from people. We're having a good time. We're trying to keep it light because with all the stuff that's going out there, we're going to try to entertain you guys and bring some positive things to the forefront rather than this whole thing that's going on. But yeah, we definitely keep everybody in mind as far as everybody's going through it. Please protect yourself. Wash your hands. Social distancing. Let's kill this thing. What are you doing? You setting up your lighting?
Yeah.
You don't like the way you're set up?
Nah.
How's my lighting, Sam? How do I?
Your lighting looks F R E S H. No, you know what it is? I have natural light on my side, but I got yellow light above me, and it's creating this hue I don't like. But
I'm sitting on my desk, and I have like a light for like reading, but that, look at that thing.
Yeah, no. I saw that zit. Accentuated that
zit. Oh, man. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm actually on your website.
Are you?
Yeah, because we were just talking before the show about your room, the room that you have in the website.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah, man, you have tons of stuff in here, which is cool. I mean, for the fans, you have a lot of stuff in here, bro.
Yeah, I was working on I was talking to you earlier about working on the fan page section. And then for some reason, it won't let me upload any more pictures. But it won't tell me if I'm maxed out with storage because it doesn't allow me to see. You know, normally other web servers that a host providers would allow me to see everything that I needed to see.
Yeah.
Wix doesn't let you see it. So I'm like, how do I know if I've maxed out? You're not telling me. I can't see that section. So I got to figure that out. I got to give them a call tomorrow.
Right. I got you.
Tell them stop playing with me.
Well, that's a good thing. Right now that you're home, you can actually make some phone calls and do what you got to do. Oh, what is this?
Hello, Sam.
Oh, is that your phone blowing up?
Yeah, it's the other phone.
That's funny, man. That's pretty loud. You see this virus. So you're running out of space. I think you need to take the picture and the bio out. What are you doing?
I'm getting blown up. Hold on one second.
Yeah, for it.
This is what happens when we're on live, right?
What happens when we're not going to edit? We refuse to edit any of this. This is the stuff coming at you live, but recorded, but live. Anyway, yeah, so iCreateStories.com is Sam's website. If you want to check out my stuff, it's on MedinaWhip.com. That's Medina, W-I-P, work in progress. I just uploaded some stuff for Wonder Duck, which is The Adventures of Wonder Duck, which is doing very well right now. So check that out. Check out Russ on there, 5377, which is my other title. And, yeah, Sam's got tons of stuff, man. Sam's got Mandy Pandy, Scary Airy, Oogly Booglies, The Adventures of Cosmic Gore, Duty's Adventures. Ah!
it's ARG.
Oh, sorry. So
stop backing up.
Good segue into, well, before we get Ms. Brito on the phone, she worked with you on some of these books, right? She did some of the some of the proofreading.
Yes, when we first moved into, we bought our condo, we were the first tenants in the building. She was actually the second one. So we bought the first unit, she bought the second unit, and then the other unit started filling up. There were six units in the condominium building, whatever. So she was my neighbor. That's how we met. And then she was a writer, aspiring writer at the time. She would proofread my work. So she did, I could tell you, Mandy Pandy, because she's on the credits on my page. The Adventures of Cosmic Gorf. And I think she did ARG. If she did, I gotta put her as the credits. But she's gonna do once I'm done with ARG, the actual novel, because I changed it into just a story, and I'm sending that to her. So once I'm done with that, she's gonna do that for me and proofread and edit for me.
Gotcha.
And she's also a teacher.
Yeah, her website. And I guess, this is a service obviously she provides. She provides service that does resumes, academic editing, and things of that nature. Her website is 4eyesedit.com. So that's 4eyes, like me, 4eyes.
Yes.
Edit.com. So yeah, check that out. We're going to talk to her, I guess, a little bit about that, Sam. I know you spoke to her yesterday, and you know her. So you're going to kick it off with her. But I don't know how much. I mean, obviously, I'm sure she wants to promote the fact that she does that. But I just, obviously there's a lot of information on her website. If there's stuff that we don't ask her, there's everything on here.
Yes, she has no problem talking, and she'll be able to elaborate on her story. Yeah. So I'm sure that when we ask the questions, it'll just be like she'll just take the ball and run with it.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's cool, yeah. That's awesome. What did we last week would have been Macroverse on the show. So I'm not going to even talk about that because we haven't recorded that yet.
No. But consider the whole, this thing, back to the whole Corona thing, it is important that people do practice social distancing. Yeah. I don't know if I had it. I know that I was bedridden for 7 days with body aches and migraines and the shakes. And that all went away 2 days ago. And then I was just like shortness of breath. For yesterday, and then today my breathing is a lot better. I didn't take any over-the-counter drugs or anything like that. I did all natural stuff. I did turmeric in green tea with ginger and cinnamon and lemon juice and oregano oil. And I just boiled that buddy together with honey. And I drank that 6 times a day. And I had chicken soup every day. Once it's all said and done, because it's been a pain in the rear trying to get tested, you get turned away because they don't have enough testing kits.
What I've heard is like if you don't have this,
or you have to have all the symptoms. You can't have one.
Really hurting for them.
Yeah, there's a runaround just getting people on the phone to give you legitimate answers, to give you locations. If it's not your primary location or hospital, then they won't take you. You have to go to yours. But if your hospital's not set up, they're going to say you got to go somewhere else. It's been a runaround. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to figure out if I'm going to be a statistic or if this is just me breaking down because I've been working nonstop and my body just crashed.
And that's the thing, right? It's well, not the, I don't know about flu season already passing or if it's here, but it could have been the flu.
Yeah. Right. You know? And the, you don't know.
You don't know. Yeah, you don't know. And that's what's scary, man. You don't know. You don't know what it is, that if it's the flu, if it's this.
Yeah, but it's got me washing my hands. I'm washing my hands so much that I think I'm down to the bone.
Me too, bro.
Like it's ridiculous. I know.
Ashy.
Yeah.
I'd be ashy, son.
you eat great cheese with that ash.
Seriously, dude. I'm a little dark, so you can see the ash.
Yeah,
you
I know. Can see the but white my ash hands
on the knuckles.
Yeah, so the knuckles are getting like scaly. It's crazy.
Yeah, man, it's bad business. Yes. It's bad business. You gotta moisturize.
It's not very masculine, but whatever. Yeah.
You gotta do what you gotta do, man.
You gotta do what you gotta do. So let's go with what is the topic of the day?
The topic of the day on Get Your Meds is censoring yourself. And unfortunately I can't see anything on your screen, but
no, you can't.
No. But yeah, so When I was thinking about censoring yourself, I was having a conversation. I always had these conversations with a lot of my fellow creators and stuff like that. And we were talking about how sometimes when you're an aspiring writer, right? When you're when you're coming up in the game and you're trying to get your name out there, sometimes you write what people want to read versus what you really want to write about, and you start censoring yourself.
Right.
You start, you're holding back, not writing what you really would. Maybe I shouldn't say that. That's not going to look right. That's not going to. And I guess this is more of a discussion between you and I.
Right.
Have you felt like you've ever had to censor yourself when writing or when creating characters?
Wow. Was that your stomach?
No, I mean, that was a motorcycle. Oh my, actually, it might have been though. I'm a little hungry. I'm not even going to lie to you.
I think there was a point in time where a lot of the noise was getting to me, especially when you're coming out in the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you're trying to break into comics and you know you're not at the caliber of the seasoned professionals, right?
Right.
And you don't have a foundation to be able to walk in with any sense of credibility.
Yeah.
You know, so no one knows who the hell you are. Because you don't have a history of published work.
Yeah.
You don't have a sponsor, someone saying, I recommend this cat. So when I was introducing my craft, my product, there was a lot of critics. And you know, I was one of those crazy mofos that I sent my product to be criticized.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And you hear about whether your art style or whatever it is, and then it made you take a hard look at yourself and say, well, maybe I should work harder to look more like Jim Lee style or this guy's style or that guy's mm-hmm. style, or maybe I should work harder to write more like Alan Moore or, you know, this guy or that guy. And you know, you get to that dark place, but then you wake up and he's like, you know what? Do or die, I'm going to do it on my own merits. And, you know, I learn as I go. It's not like I was ignorant and not a student of the game. But I believed in what I believed in, and that was my voice. You know, my style of art was an extension of me. My writing was my voice, and the life that I gave to the characters that I believed in and I created. So I was like, you know what? Hell or high water, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. But there was a point where you start second-guessing yourself, especially when you don't break the barriers.
Right. You know, and you know, it's crazy because we live in a country where we have freedoms, and we have freedom of speech, and we can talk about it, and we can you know, discuss whatever we want, and we can write about anything, and nobody's going to tell us anything. And we do it to ourselves, right? Like, we censor ourselves because of fear, because of, okay, that's not going to be accepted. That's not going to be right. That's not.
Right.
And I think that we kind of have to step out of that and don't think that way and say, all right, let me write the story that I want to write. Now, you know, I guess I say that, but I also say, be mindful of what you write. You know, like, don't write things just to anger people. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if it's within, I'm creating a story that I want to tell and I want to tell it, I'm all for that. What I kind of like, I'm like, damn, why are you doing that? Is when you're doing it just to get a reaction.
Yes.
You know, I know that'll sell. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to say that because I know that that's what's going to be. And to me, that's, do what you want to do. But for me, that's a turnoff for me. I think that at that point, it's not about censoring. It's just about be mindful. You know, be mindful of what you're writing about and who you're.
Then you're like a troll, or you're like you're like a ambulance chaser. You know what I'm saying? You're looking for you're a trend chaser. So mm-hmm. you really don't have any substance of your own. You're just a copycat. You're gonna go out there and say, "I'm gonna go and do it, do exactly what he's doing, but I'm gonna add a little twist so I have my flavor to it." You didn't create anything. You know what I mean? I think it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Being different just to be different.
Yeah.
But there's no substance, or copying because you have no talent, and because you realize that you have shortcomings. But you know what? That's what's happening. You see it in podcasting, right? The biggest thing right now on YouTube are the critics of hip hop music. Right? Rap music. So everyone, you know, Eminem is the biggest name in the game. So every time he releases something, you got all these guys doing reviews of the songs, right? Playing the songs, doing the reviews, and is the fan reaction, whatever. Those are the biggest trending. So you see them, they come in a dime a dozen. There's like 30, 40, 50 of them doing the same thing, and they're getting thousands of views because everyone wants to see what somebody else's different opinion is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's... they are trend chasers, you know. And I think, you know, the guys that are going to be different are the ones that just say, you know what, I have an idea for something. I'm really passionate about this. I'm going to work it out, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to see how it does. And you know, and it's not really looking to compete in the ocean. It's really to just, I'm going to go into the pond right now. And I'm going to swim, and I'm going to play, and I'm going to see what this does. And if it takes me into a stream that leads into the ocean, then boom. But I'm going to start small, and I'm going to work out the kinks. You know, I'm going to create my own sandbox. You know, and I think that's the difference. You know, I've always said it to people. It's like, you know, you're either going to follow everybody. Like for years, people criticized me because I was the only cat with a BlackBerry, right? I just put my BlackBerry to bed, and the only reason you stop acting up. I still got it right here, right?
No, I'm saying, why would they criticize you because you have a BlackBerry?
Because they were like, no one uses a BlackBerry. I said, no one who matters, right? So, right, you know me, right? So the reason why I use a BlackBerry is for security reasons, right? Because there's a reason for why the government uses BlackBerries, why large firms use BlackBerries, because of the technology that they have behind the security features, right? So if I'm on the go.
Like that. That's like a whole other topic, right? Conspiracies, dude. I like that. Right? I didn't even know that. So there are certain people who only use BlackBerries because the smartphones obviously have the cameras, they have the audio, right. They can record, yes. Even when you're not using it and all that other stuff.
Yes. I gotcha. You know, you couldn't use BlackBerries in Iran because of the security features, and they want to be able to track you, and they want to be able to, BlackBerry has all these things to protect you.
I'm over here thinking it's just you being the old man on the lawn. Get off my lawn, young kids. I'm using my old, I have a flip phone that I use.
I'll get you, Wesley Webbits.
You went behind the ears.
Yes, the ears.
I got you. So yeah, no, so there's a reason for it.
Right,
okay, got
right. So I'm like, I'm not looking, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean I need to do it.
You're not trying to follow the crowd. Right,
I'm not trying to follow, you know what I'm saying? It's like the crowd creates the mob, which creates the problems, right? It's the individual that makes his own decisions, is able to see the problem down the road. It's like, yeah, let me go this way, right?
Okay, you know, you have the beard growing. You sound really philosophical right now. Like, this thing, what you're saying now has more weight because of the beard.
Yeah, I'm not
you know,
sure
when
for a while.
When I was working, like when we were first with Jonathan Syfax, right. When we first were working on Street Journal, He's Jonathan's a really good writer, right. but he tends to say, okay, should I be saying that? Right. You know, and there were a lot of things that we spoke about in the Street Journal, which is a story about a kid growing up back in like the 90s in a drug ridden area that we kind of had to put into the story for it to be authentic to the era, to the time, to what was going on. And those were the things that sometimes it was like, damn, should we not be writing about this? Should we pull back a little bit on this? Are people going to receive this well? And it's like, well, that's what the story is, you know, we're not trying to, you know, sensationalize it. It's what it is. That's what's going on. And that's the, as a new writer, as a young writer, that's the line that you're like, do I cross it? But it's those people that cross the Spike Lees that cross it, you know, that have the notoriety now, that are pioneers, and that are people who people look at them and say, well, I respect what he did. Right. Because he did it for the art. He didn't do it for the, you know, for just that reaction, you know?
Right.
And yeah, no, I mean, it's a thin line. And like I said, it's what it is. It's that thin line. But, you know, you gotta follow your heart when you're writing these stories.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. I think you could be that new trend, you know, but, you know, you had to be passionate about what you do and you have to believe in it and and do it for the right reasons, man. Don't do it because you want to get a Hollywood deal. Do it because you believe in this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The characters that I have been with me for years.
Yeah.
For years. You know what I mean? Cosmic Gorf has been with me since I was a kid. Mandy Pandy, I created years ago.
Yeah.
You know, Scary Airy, the Oogly Booglies, all those things. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and I'm sticking with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny when you create characters like this. Like, look, Russ is 21 years old.
Yeah.
Like, these are your kids, bro. And you, whenever you create, like, you created that story, Mandy Pandy, for your niece, right?
Yes.
So you know how old your story is by how old that child is now, right? So like you were this age when I created this story. It's like Aníbal's Little Steve's Closet. Little Steve's a grown man, bro.
I know.
The little Steve that he wrote that story for is a grown man now. Crazy. And it's like, that's how long you have these stories, but you like, you follow them and you just keep working on them. You don't care about, like you're talking about the censorship. Oh, what are people going to think?
Right.
It's, you know, it's what I want to write about and that's what I'm going to put out there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you have to do. When it comes to censoring yourself, you shouldn't. Yeah. Not because of fear or doubt. Don't do it.
No, don't do it. I mean, they think you got to just stick, be true to yourself. Believe in your product and let the chips fall where they may.
Absolutely, dude. That's what it's about. I think that, you know, for any new artists or writers that are out there, man, just. Yeah, to keep doing your thing. Just don't worry about, oh, that's not gonna sell, or you shouldn't be talking about that, or you shouldn't be writing about that. No, if it makes sense for your story, write it.
I'm gonna keep it 100. Right. So right. So we were talking about putting our product online, right? So we were talking about one of our previous shows was, you know, what's accessible to us, you know, rather you know, and what wasn't 10 years ago, what it is now.
Yeah.
So I have the bulk of my inventory as ebooks right now on both Amazon and Barnes & Nobles.
Yeah.
And I'm not moving. Right? And I'm like, well, what's going on? Right? So I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's the best. And I've been playing with different types of promotions. And I'm like, where am I going to get, which promotion is going to help me start getting that word out that it's there? You know, and so it's a blow to the ego. It's a blow to your mentality, you know, your psyche. And it's like, you know, I remember being bedridden for the past week saying, damn, Sam, did I make the right decision? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm there laying there and I'm like, am I going out like this guy? Because you don't know what the hell's going on with my body. I'm like, I'm like, what's going on here? And then, you know, and I pull up and I'm looking up the stats and I'm like, and I see strike, strike, strike. And I'm like, oh, damn. Right? So I come out of my exorcism and my body's back to normal. And I'm like, all right, now I got this new thirst to fight. And I'm like, nah, no, this is, I work too hard
for
this.
You got a second win?
Got a second win. I'm like, yo, I got to figure this out. You know, I got to figure this piece out. And I think a lot of it has to do with it's just in ebooks. I have to have the hard copy version available as well. And so that's why I started researching Ingram Sparks.
You do. You have to. Yeah. I know. Yeah. We did talk about that. Like what your plan was. And that's the thing, right? So your plan was, you know, there were phases you were saying about what you wanted to do. And you wanted to start off like this. And I'm glad that you kind of are saying, you know what, that's not working. And that's maturity, right? That's learning. Because I think the Sam from many years ago would have been like, nope, I'm going down with this shit. This digital thing is going to sell. And now I'm glad, man, that you're looking into maybe having some products so that you can have physical copies. Because although I think that the digital thing is coming, I don't think we're 100% there yet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So that's where I'm like right now, I talking to my sister-in-law, who is like my business advisor, and I'm like, do I go and get my LLC? Do I go? Because now I'm crossing that threshold that I didn't want to cross. I'm like, man. So I have to make sure I protect myself and change over from sole proprietor to, you know, LLC. And, you know, because then I'm like, all right, so now I have to buy ISBNs. So do I buy it in bulk instead of buying one for, you know, that's $100-something, whatever, and 10 for $275, but you can get 100 for $575. Doesn't make sense. Where's the 25 mark? You know, where's the 25.50? There's no incremental.
You could pay so much for one. That's what we did. Anibal and I, we ended up buying the lot of 100.
It's crazy.
And now you have it. But the thing is, if you ever change the name of your publishing company, those things are null and void.
I just did. I just changed everything. But I haven't purchased the ISBN yet. I've been researching. Right now I'm at the researching phase. I'm like, all right, boom, 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 boom. And then I want to see how long this whole pandemic lasts, because I don't want to make any investments right now. That's going to hurt me down the road. And because then I'll be living in your apartment. And so I'm like, I'm like, guess who's coming to dinner?
Well, listen.
Cats and dogs.
before Adeli calls.
Yes.
So that was Catch Your Meds. Next week, we're going to we're not going to have a guest on the show. So the whole show, we're going to be talking about finding your dynamic duo, which is basically how do you find your artist if you're a writer, or how do you find your writer if you're an artist?
Right.
So we'll be discussing that with you guys. And so go on, Sam. So, you know,
now I'm looking at, all right, budget. What is the budget I'm going to need? Because per title, they charge $50 per title, right? And then, all right, then you're talking about $600 for a bulk of ISBNs.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you're talking about the cost of changing your business to LLC. Yes, that's her. So I'm going to have her call in now. We're going to cut to commercial. When we come back, we got a Dolly Burrito.
Cool.
All right. So if we do this, it can work. It has to work. We have to catch it. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, we're going to catch it. We're going to catch it. Yo, stop it.
Stop what? I didn't do it.
My bad. I was thinking of something else. We're going. We're going now. We're going now. We're going now. Not now.
Hey, you all right?
Yo, I'm cool. I'm just acting up. Yo, don't even think about it. We get to book it. To the cruise. We get to book it. To the cruise.
Yo, think about what? Why do you keep looking over your shoulder?
Is the craze at the disco? Oh, I have these great platform shoes I can wear. Yo, can we all just focus? We're never gonna catch the craze with all these distractions.
Okay, I'm gonna come back tomorrow. You're gonna get some rest, and we can work on catching the craze another time. All right,
I'll catch you later. Really? What is your problem? Me? My problem? What's your problem? You're ruining everything. Me? Me? I'm trying to catch the craze.
All right, we're back on Catch the Craze podcast, and we have a very special guest on the line. She is a writer, she is a teacher, an editor. Her name is Adele Brito. Welcome.
Thank you, Sam. It's good to be in the show.
Yes, and I have my...
Very exciting.
And I think you
we
know...
We used to be neighbors, but now we're far away.
Yes, and I think you know George Medina. He was my partner on Crazy Comics and Cast the Craze. Back then, I think you might have met him a couple times. He's our co-host.
Yes,
he's on the phone
yes,
as well.
I remember.
How you doing, Adele?
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Nice. So you're all the way in Memphis, huh?
Actually, I graduated, and now I'm in Nashville.
Wow, look at you. Nice. Good for you. Congratulations.
I only go to really popular cities.
All right, so Adele, we want to start off with basically what influenced you? What was it about writing that piqued your interest?
Well, it started when I was little. I would make my mother buy me books wherever we went, and I would finish reading them before we got home. So she always made me read them again, you know? And I always had, I always liked stories that took place in, like, particular places and, like, historical periods that I felt were kind of made the action more palpable. And so from then on, I always was attracted to books of that nature that really had to do a lot about where a story takes place and how the people are influenced by where they live or where they work or, you know, like their immediate surroundings. And so I used to make up just little stories when I was young, and eventually I was just very passionate about making up stories of my own that that had like a message or a lesson, that kind of thing. And I didn't take it super seriously until I knew that, you know, there were a lot of good stories, important stories to tell.
Right. And so what were some of your favorite books?
Well, I started reading Edgar Allan Poe before I realized how scary they really were. So I read a lot of his short stories, like even during middle school. And then in high school, I did get into a lot of the classics and things like that. And I really liked Hemingway for the main reason that his sentences are very short and to the point, but also they kind of say things that aren't in the text. And I think that's a very effective way of writing, so you really get the reader into kind of imagining things that aren't said directly. Those are my main influences that I started reading early on. And then later I did get into a lot of Latin American writers because of I was, you know, more familiar with the cultural aspects and the stories that they were telling.
Nice. So then I know you're working on a project of your own.
Yes.
Are you able to talk about it?
Yes. It's not super top secret or anything. Because I had written just various stories like that took place in New York and in Memphis and things of that nature. But as I was in graduate school, I found myself kind of being the one who had different personal stories to tell, especially about my Cuban upbringing. And in telling stories of just things that had happened in my family, I realized how important it was for me to tell Cuban immigration stories.
Right.
And so as my graduation project, which I need to revise. I started off with a story about a young man in Havana. It starts in 1990 or so, who escaped Havana, who escaped Cuba on a raft to Miami. And that was based on actual events of people, of cousins, and of stories that I had heard. So that story was expanded. It'll be a novella, at least, or possibly longer. And it'll deal with the escape, with his trauma about it, with living in a new country and not really fitting into the Miami culture. And that's one project that I'm working on. And the second one, yes.
No, I'm sorry to cut you off. The one that you just described, is that Mambo Farewell?
Yes, that is Mambo Farewell, was the title. Yes, that was the title of the first short story.
Okay.
And then I expanded it because everybody that read it was left in suspense. And then I decided that I had to continue getting him from point A to point B.
Gotcha.
And I just kind of realized there was a lot more themes to explore with the immigration story because everybody's experience is different. And so that developed more about him as a character and him as kind of not fitting in a new place. And so that's what's called Mambo Farewell, but I'm not sure if the whole piece, you know, if the whole novel will stay with the title. But I do want to make it have a musical tone to it as well, because Cuban music is so rich that I think that'll be something good to weave along with the story.
Yeah, I love the title. Like, I love the fact that you're using Mambo in the title. And so you kind of, as a reader, oh, okay, I see where that kind of story is kind of going. What I wanted to ask you, Adelie, was as a Latina, like, writer, do you feel like you kind of, like, have to write about our culture, or do you feel like you want to write about our culture? Like, how do you feel about that?
Yes, actually, and, you know, I know that there has been a lot of controversy of who's responsible for writing these stories, or who's the right person to write it, or who shouldn't write these stories because they didn't live it. And I did have, at first when I wrote the rap story, I didn't really think much about it because these were cousins who had gone through this, and I had heard pieces of it, and I was like, they don't want to talk about what happened, you know what I mean? But then later, I did find that it was important to tell although I had questions, like, if I was the right person to tell my family's stories, right? Even though they're totally fictionalized, because I really do not know all the details. But I feel that because of being a child of an immigrant and not living in a place that I consider to be more my homeland culturally, you know, because, you know, with culture, you have a culture at home and you have a culture at school, regardless of where you live. You know, so I felt it was important to explore where my family came from, and see what I can do with the characters as respectfully as I can, because you can't really know what goes on in somebody's experience, especially traumatic experiences. So one way I try to do that is to implement Spanish in my writing, because that would be more feel more natural to the characters, rather than write an American story about a person who's not American.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense. Yeah. You know, it's funny that you mentioned Hemingway, because he frequented Cuba a lot. And he wrote a lot. Like he embraced the culture, and he was a white man who was writing about it, but he was very influenced by it. And he's one of the greatest writers. And I just feel like, I understand what you're saying. I agree with you 100%. It's like sometimes you have to. You want to tell your story, but you don't want to sound like that person who's just, I'm just telling the story because I'm from there. It's a story you really do want to tell, and you have something to say about it. And I think that's important too.
Right. And I realize that I have so much to learn, because at the same time, you're not going to hear every possible angle from your parents or your grandparents. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's why I listen to a lot of the music from different time periods. Mm. So, for example, another project I'm working on, because I went back in time to the heyday of Cuba, the one that everybody dreams about with the cabaret and the mobsters and all that.
Right.
And so I was looking at a lot of old photos and the music. And so then my second character, which would be going back in time, would be a cabaret singer, you know, who then leaves because of the revolution,
Right.
So I wanted to explore both sides that we just kind of hear, but not know all the stories, and I realized how many things I probably was getting wrong, because it was just bits that we hear from, my grandfather told me this thing that happened, but you kind of don't know the world itself.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing I've been struggling with, of like, how would this have happened, or how the person would have reacted in this situation, right?
To make
the characters most believable.
Gotcha. And what are some of, like, what's your writing process? Do you do a lot of research? Do you take a lot of notes? Do you do outlines? Like, what is your writing process?
Well, because I'm a teacher, and I tell all my students to draw an outline, to make a list, to do something visual, I try to do that myself as a roadmap. But at the same time, sometimes the story goes in some other place, and you have to let the story or the characters take it away, because it might end up in a better place than you wanted.
Yeah.
Because I do create outlines, but then you kind of want the story to end with a happy ending, and maybe that's not the ending that it should be. So I kind of do not do the last part of the outline, because I know it's going to go somewhere else. But I do listen to a lot of music, and I cannot buy any more books, so I check them out from the library. I just don't have enough room. But I look at a lot of travel books. Of the place I'm trying to recreate, and old pictures online, so that my first step is, even before I do an outline, I try to create one place and then put the character in there. And that is usually through a song, or like looking at pictures. So for example, Mambo Farewell, I just imagine like a luncheonette, with like the window that you can get the coffee on the outside, but then there's people eating inside. And so I just like had this old guy dancing with this young girl. And then I put my character outside looking into the scene, with the old car and that kind of thing. like to find the little place and then put the character inside, and then I do like try to do a trajectory of where I want it to go. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
you have to have a map of some kind, a guide, but at the same time you have to be open to the story taking you someplace else because maybe you didn't have it right the first time. You know what I mean?
Or you may have like a plan for the story and all of a sudden you're writing and it takes a turn and you're like, oh, I kind of like that. And you go with that turn rather than what you had planned originally and it comes out better. Yeah, no, that
you surprise you surprise yourself because your character surprises you, right? Or you put another character in there and suddenly it's like, hey, you know, like my two characters suddenly start speaking English because they're plotting their escape. And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course they're going to try to be not obvious about it and talking in secret. But I didn't even think of that, you know. But you're right. You kind of have to, it takes a turn and you want to follow it just in case it's better than what you have planned.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What are some books about writing that you recommend? Like if you want to, if like a kid is, you know, wants to be a writer, what are some of the books that you recommend they read to help them with that?
Well, one thing, I mean, there's so many resources, right? And different things work for different people. But one thing that really helped me with my writing was to read a lot of mystery books. Because the format of a mystery book could be a guide to any kind of story because the pieces have to fall into place in a certain way. And in the end, the reader should be surprised, but could trace back all the clues. So I think there's a lot of good, for young people, I think there are a lot of good adventure stories. Right. And more basic mystery stories. But for guide like reader's guide, there's a few books that I would recommend to a young person, even if they are writing fiction. It's something called Your Voice Is Your Story, something about using your personal experiences to create make-believe stories. I'm looking at my shelf now, but I should have didn't think of preparing a list. But
no,
I think
it's
one
fine.
One thing is to read about things that you like, because you'll learn a little bit more, especially if something that you're interested in, there's probably something you didn't know. But I would suggest to just read a variety of writers and also to talk to people who like to read because they always have like a different insight that might turn you in a direction that might interest you. And to spend a lot of time at bookstores and libraries because they always have, they can kind of figure out what you might be interested just by asking you what you've read before and what you like. And I think those are sources that we forget about, especially the library. But even if it's just magazines that of your topic of interest, there's a lot of things that people do in creative ways, and now you can write about your experience in a fictional way or like the other way around, place it in a specific time. But so my recommendation for to be a good writer, you have to be a good reader. Because by following people's not copying their style, but admiring their style and say, oh, I wonder if I could do that with this story that I like or, you know, that I want to write.
Yeah.
So I would just say read a lot and ask for help from librarians and teachers and things like that, because they're there to guide us in things that might open us up creatively, I would say.
I got you. You know, and I just want to pivot real quick. You mentioned style when in writing, right? Now, I'm just gonna talk about a little bit about your editorial career. So you're also an editor, mm-hmm. right? And you provide editing services and things like that for writers on your website,
yes,
which I Four Eyes Edit. My question is,
when you're
editing, right, and you talk about style, mm-hmm. do you ever find yourself almost like putting your style into the editing process? How do you split that up between
I do that in my head. I do not do it on paper.
okay, yeah. Because I would think it's kind of hard, right, to kind of split yourself up from that. Like, this is my style, but this is their style. I can't change that.
Yeah, well, once the first step I usually do is give them feedback on whether I act as a reader and tell them how the story is working, or this doesn't make sense, and that sort of thing. Like, that would be the first step in, like, people could hire me for their story development, right? And then other people just hire me to fix their words, right?
Gotcha.
And I have found there was one project that I said, oh my God, this is the first chapter, and I'm already, like, asleep here. It was almost like starting the story with Once Upon a Time.
Like, oh my God.
It didn't start like that, but it was like,
it was very basic.
This and this, that, like very whatever.
Yeah.
And right away, I found like a very, I love like opening lines that like make you want to read because it's so weird, like you don't know where it's going. Mm-hmm. And I really just wanted to rewrite that whole chapter because it was very intriguing, but it wasn't said in an intriguing way.
Gotcha.
So you have to make suggestions for the writer to then consider it if it's going to help their story. And so I usually take the route of asking questions rather than rewriting. Now, when it's basic things of fixing sentences and that kind of thing and fixing mistakes, that's not an issue because that's what they want.
Right.
But you have to be careful of the judgment of, like, because everybody's style is different, and just because you can think of something more exciting, you just want to phrase it more as a question rather than, oh, you should do this.
Right. Yeah, because that's what I thought. I thought that would be very difficult to kind of like split yourself. But I mean, obviously, you're a professional at this, so you can split yourself. But like, I know that if I was reading something, I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound right. Let's change it up this way. You can't change it. You can only ask, hey, did you mean to do this? I guess is what you're saying, right?
Right. That's the good thing of the comment feature on the side of Microsoft Word. This is very interesting. But maybe you need, I always tell them your first, I think also because publishing is so difficult, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're at the store, you open the book, and if that first page, that first paragraph doesn't, like, intrigue you, you're not going to buy the book, right?
Yeah.
So I always kind of phrase it, that way. That your beginning has to be very attention grabbing, and then they understand how it needs to start in a different place or a different way. And I tell my students that because even if it's an essay about something that's, you know, generic or academic, that first paragraph has to attract the reader. And it doesn't have to be anything super exciting, but it has to be something that makes them say, oh, that's kind of odd. Like, I want to keep on finding out more, you know?
Right.
So it is tricky. Like you said, if you don't want to change it, but the technique is more like asking a question for them to come to their own conclusion.
Makes sense. And now the service that you provide, if people wanted to say, for example, hire you to be an editor, they would go to 4eyesedit.com, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So cool. I have clients that are fiction writers and very successful on Amazon, historical romance and mystery. And then I work with a lot of students during college application time and that sort of thing. But I've worked on every book of her series.
Wow.
Except maybe one in the middle, and they're very successful because she creates, they're historical, like late 1800s in Montana, and so I'm always learning something new about, you know, things we take for granted, like electricity and sheriffs and outhouses and horses. So I learn a lot, and I also make sure that everything that she mentions is consistent
moving
forward. Like if you know, and that the plot points really make sense and are realistic, and that fits that character's, you know, personality and that sort of thing. So I work on a variety of types of books. And I would give feedback on if the story is working, and then fix the writing, you know.
Mm.
So there, as you know, there's many steps to the writing process, and
of
it depends where that person is in the process and how I can help them get to the next step.
I gotcha. And now I know we're running a little bit out of time, Adelie, but you did mention that there was a second project you were working on, right? You want to tell us about that briefly?
Yes. So that one does not have a title yet, but she is a cabaret singer in Havana in the 1940s. So it's a lot of boleros and romantic music, but it also was a time of mobsters in Cuba. So I do. And Frank Sinatra going to sing in Cuba as well. So I try to implement a lot of the historical time period, and also did research on the songs of that time period, and kind of tied it to the theme of what was going on in that chapter with like Bésame Mucho or like classic songs like that and what were going on because she's a young woman. So. And that one leads up to her leaving after the revolution and then 1960s and 70s in New York City,
which
is a whole other world, you know, a whole other world for somebody who comes from another country. So that's the second project that I have that I'm working on.
Gotcha. Any dates as to when we'll be able to read some of your work or if we can already read some of your work somewhere?
Okay, so Mumble Farewell is an Amazon Kindle short story. So that is available now.
Okay.
And the second part, you know, you want to find out if he makes it or not, is called Adrift. And that will be available very soon. I'm working with the formatter to get that done. And then it'll be a novel. So that one you need to wait for because I'm going to put all the pieces together into a larger one. And I have another story that I'm going to put as a Kindle single, but it's totally unrelated.
We lost you. Hello?
Yeah. Another story I'm going to put on Amazon is about a Mexican woman who's married to an American narco trafficker, and she's going to be on the run. I don't know where she's going yet, but she's going to be on the run. You can't know where she's going. So that's just like little things while I work on the bigger projects that I spoke to you about.
Awesome, Adelie. Listen, I'm gonna sign up, but I love everything you're doing. I'm definitely gonna look into this 4eyesedit.com because I can definitely use some of your services. So I'll be talking to you about that as well. But thank you so much for speaking with us for this amount of time. I'll let Sam take over from here.
Yes.
Have a good one, all right?
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Adelie, for being on the show. And again, let us know when your new stuff is available. I'll add the link. And again, this show will be up on, what's that date, George?
This will air on the 17th.
The 17th, yes. So George is good with those dates. So, and I'll send you a link. So it'll be available on all platforms, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, you know, you'll be able to see it everywhere.
Excellent. And I'll send you all my links so that people can read the stories and we can keep on sharing all the wonderful stories we have to tell.
You got it. Thank you again, Adelie.
Okay. Thank you, Sam. All thank right. you, George.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yes, I got to let her know. What are you doing? Why'd you change the angle of the camera?
Stop it. You get kept away. I thought you were going to commercial. You usually go to commercial right after this.
Yeah, because we can't go to commercial because we're at the end of the show. So let's wrap it up. We got 2 minutes to wrap this up. So that's pretty good. I mean, she has a lot to share. She has a wealth of history.
She does, dude. She does. I mean, I could have spoken to her about writing forever.
Yes.
Her editorial career, you got The New Yorker, Adweek, Scholastic, McGraw-Hill. Like, she's legit, man. Like, she's really heavy-duty legit. So, yeah.
Too legit to awesome. Quit.
Yeah, man. I know you wanted to sing. When she said,
Mambo Limbo. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. I was ready.
You wanted to sing so bad. I was like, this. He doesn't even know the words, but he will sing.
I was like, you know, but first when she said Mambo, I was like, Mambo number five. I was like, I want a little Monica in my life. I was ready, but I was like, nah, let's back up. Like,
slow down. I saw your head start to pop. And yeah. I was like, this. He's singing in his head right now. That's hysterical.
Yes, but that was a good show. Yes. Good topic. I was getting blown up on my other phone. I got three phones here. So I was getting blown up on the other phone. So I was like, but no, it was cool. Any parting words?
Tune in next week, the 24th, when we will be discussing finding your dynamic duo on Get Your Meds. And just be safe out there, guys. Wash your hands. Stay away from people. 6 feet at least.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week.
You got it. I am Sam the Crazy Man Rare, and that is
George the Dreamer Medina.
There you go. Look at that. No, I was talking about my friend Aquise. Say my name, say my name. Right? This is what you were thinking? Oh, Lord. He described me. He said, I'm the...
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze. On Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze.